From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of November 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Don Day will be here with the Ag Weather Forecast, and we'll hear a portion of Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen's price outlook for corn and soybeans made yesterday during the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today at $5.67, down 14 cents. March down 14 and three quarters at 5.67 and a half. January beans 24 and a quarter lower, 12.17 and a quarter. The settlement price down 20 in the November at 12.09. And wheat futures for the day 33 and three quarters lower. It is Giving Tuesday, and before we talk to Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, I want to say thank you to everybody who has made a gift in the past. If you've not, or if you think Giving Tuesday is a great thing and you want to make another gift today, that's great. We'd love to have you do that. You can do it easily at willgive.org. That's willgive.org, or call 217-244-9454. I know we've had gifts for Farm Broadcasting today, and said, keep up the good work, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and you have been a big part of the radio station over the years. Yesterday, Kurt Kimmel and I were kidding along. I think you heard us say that Turnaround Tuesday should be fun. It wasn't. What happened?
We didn't turn around. We kept going straight down the track, and there was no turnaround that way. I think a lot of it was started with the Fed saying they were going to raise rates a couple times in 2022, and then talking a little bit more about there could even be possibly a third raise there. And that did a little bit of a pushback on the stock market like that. But then the GMO attitude, and that's not genetically modified. That's the get me out mentality, Todd. And, we saw a lot of that. We saw the open interest in the corn and the beans drop sharply. The last 2 days, the corn, over 60,000 contracts of corn exited, in that way. So that's not a good thing as we get along the way here. And basically the end of the month, the new COVID strain throws stuff into here. Just a lot of different things all piled together, and a lot of people saying, hey, we're going to just step to the sidelines here for maybe the whole last month of the year and sort of see, reassess and see. We hear all the government people talking about it's going to take at least 2 weeks to assess how we need to handle the new genetic strain of the new COVID. So all that thrown together, and then breaking below the 20-day moving averages in corn, beans, and wheat both, a lot of liquidation today.
Should we be concerned that, relatively speaking, corn had a tougher day today than soybeans?
I think that we got to be concerned across the board on what the inflation rate is sort of doing, what the stock market is doing. Because the stock market, has been very, very strong, and it's got some air underneath it. And I think that that's going to hurt a little bit, too. But we have not seen, and we were hoping, really hoping, that China would show up here soon in the corn market. I was looking, and we've talked about it, that they took the tariffs on the DDGs off starting January 1st. And we were really thinking that maybe that would be, they could be taking some DDGs at that point in time for their feed use and that along the way because of the lysine business going away in that way. So we were hoping on that. One of the bad things we saw today in the beans, though, is the Brazil FOB February beans, 482 a ton is what their pricing there is at, and the Gulf FOB February beans are 493. So we're $11 a ton higher than Brazil for February beans. So our window to try to get beans and own the bean market, it's tightened up again, and it looks very bad that way. So, and the other bad thing, it's very rare for ag markets to set highs in December. And here we go, and tomorrow's going to be December.
Expect much follow-up tonight and tomorrow, or is this market settled?
We generally do 3 days of this, so Friday was a crazy day. Will that today be our third day, or I think we're going to go in a little bit into tomorrow because we're going to look at some margin call liquidation, I think, by some of the guys that have hung in here, and just depending on whether they want to send checks and things around the way, because, you know, the farmers have been exceedingly friendly this market. We've talked about inflation. We've talked about, you know, end users not covered. We've talked about processors doing so well, the ethanol plants, the soybean crushing plants, and it's left quite a few farmers in a very bullish attitude because of all these things that were positive that way. So, you know, another thing that's supposed to be out today, we don't know that they'll make their deadline because Washington doesn't always make their deadlines, but the EPA was supposed to be out with their renewable fuel standard numbers for 2021 and 22 today by the 30th of November. So we doubt we're going to see those, but, you know, that's another thing that's going to sort of could screw up the mix with corn. I think if they would lower the numbers that were required for 20 and 21 and allow some of the processors that did not collect or use all their RIN or didn't buy their RINs that they need for some of that. So, you know, that's going to be one of the things they're going to be looking at also. But a lot of uneasiness here tonight going home, that's for sure.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Well, the annual Illinois Farm Economic Summits have started, and this year's event consists of five webinars. The first one, as you'll hear in a moment, held some really surprising numbers. It explored the price outlook for this season's corn and soybean crops and for next season's. You can still sign up for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits online at willag.org, look in the calendar section, or you can go to farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now, let's start with some of the numbers that will surprise you from the first webinar. Ag economist Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen are projecting the season's average cash price for this year's corn crop in the United States to be $4.85 a bushel. Now that's 60 cents below USDA's current estimate. Scott Irwin picks up that difference as he explains why he and Joe Jansen settled on $4.85 a bushel as the season's average cash price.
Well, that's based on some modeling that we've done of the relationship between the ending stocks to use percentage and the corn price in the current ethanol era. And we basically have a series of relationships that we think do a pretty good job of at least benchmarking the basic pricing dynamics in the U.S. corn market. First off, when we get really low stocks, you tend to get really high prices. And then you have kind of more normal pricing relationships, which we call high demand and low demand models. So if we look at and take literally, if we go with a high demand model, and we run out 10.7% stocks to use ratio, it says $4.26 per bushel. That can be contrast where the November WASD is at 10.1% and 545, which is not really on any of the relationships, which of course makes it really interesting. It doesn't mean that the WASD combination is wrong. It's possible that it's, you know, part of the what we would call low stocks environment pricing. It's just a new data point and it could turn out to be right. So where our 485 comes from is classic split the difference. We just take basically the average of 545 and 426, and at 10.7%, that's how we get 485. So the message from this analysis is that, of course, we already have several months of the current marketing year at high prices. So to get to 485, there would have to be a pretty good dip in the price of corn, particularly in the second half of the marketing year. So that's what's built into our price assumption on corn. Take a quick look at soybeans. Same setup in terms of the 21-22 balance sheet. For this is again for the U.S. only. And just the differences versus USDA, we expect in that final survey to find a little bit higher yield on soybeans. No change in the acreage. And then the usage numbers being basically the same. We don't see anything that would lead us to disagree right now with the WASD estimates in November. The increase in production gives us just slightly higher ending stocks projection of 365 million bushels versus 340, slightly higher stocks to use ratio, and the same price.
Recapping the current market year then. Irwin and Janssen are using the same $12.10 per bushel season's average cash price as USDA did in the November reports, but has the cash price of corn 60 cents lower at $4.85. That number is pretty jarring, given the marketing year won't end until next fall. This, during the webinar, brought the pair to their first projections for the 2022-23 crop year. Scott Irwin highlighted two things related to planted acreage.
First, the decline in total planted or intended total planted crop acreage in the U.S. from 2013's peak of 332 million acres to the low in 2021 of 319.3 acres. That's a drop of 12.7 million acres. But with the recovery in prices late 2020 and in particularly into the spring of 2021, most analysts were expecting in 2021 that this total would recover. And you saw that in particular in market analyst expectations before the March prospective plantings report and even for the June USDA acreage report. Did not materialize. In fact, we were down a million acres in 2021. Why that was happened, there's various possible explanations, but it's probably best explained using this chart. Here, what I'm showing is the same total acreage intended each year from 06 to 21, and a measure of the economic incentives to expand and contract planted acreage. And my measure is a really simple one. I'm just looking at the price of corn, the US average, for the previous marketing year. So this is a one-year lagged corn price versus that intended crop acreage. And you can see it's certainly not a perfect relationship, but the size of the acreage pie does expand and contract consistent with economic incentives, here indicated simply by the price of corn.
Well, that is all to say that when prices are trending downward, farmers tend to plant fewer corn acres, and when they're going up, they tend to plant more corn acres. Irwin picks up that thought as it relates to 2022 corn acreage in the United States. He threw out a really, really, really big number during the webinar. He's expecting 96 million acres of corn to be planted next spring. He explains how it was calculated.
Well, we need to start by looking at the incentives to plant corn relative to soybeans. And the classic indicator is the soybean corn price ratio. The break-even ratio that we use for a futures-based ratio is 2.3. And of course, there's a really interesting story in the market pricing of corn versus soybeans in terms of planting or acreage incentives. For the last year, this indicator had clearly been signaling a sharp increase in soybean acreage relative to corn. And then we had the very large increases in fertilizer, in particular nitrogen prices, begin to show up early in the fall. And we saw basically corn prices, new crop corn futures prices rally a bit and soybeans fall. The combination caused a dramatic change in the incentives to plant corn versus soybeans. And, dropping all the way from a ratio in late September of around 2.5 to recently about 2.25. And as of this morning, all the way down to 2.2 2, almost down to 2.2. So a dramatic shift in this traditional indicator of corn versus soybean profits. Now, you might ask, well, is, you know, one response is, well, maybe the 2.3 is not the right break-even ratio because of this dramatic increase in fertilizer costs, in particular nitrogen. Well, we had Gary Schnicke and his co-authors did a great Farm Doc Daily article on November 2nd earlier this month, taking a look at this for Illinois. And as a lot of people are talking, fertilizer costs are projected to go up for 2022 versus 21 by $100 an acre. It's clearly large. But what's, I think, lost in the discussion is that fertilizer costs are also going up about $50 an acre for soybeans. So the net difference in fertilizer cost is not as large as you might realize. It's a net increase for corn of about $50 an acre. And what they showed in that article was that at same current forward bid structure we're looking at right now, at least in Illinois, corn was more profitable than soybeans by about $30 to $40 an acre. So very consistent with the picture we get from the ratio.
That's a lot of background information, but it all underpins the calculation Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen used to get to their 2022 corn and soybean acreage and price projections.
Now we can plot that new crop futures ratio. What I found a reasonable relationship with is the percentage of soybean planted acreage out of that total. And just as a reference point in that relationship, at 2.3, the break even, we can tend to not quite get 50% acreage in soybeans, about 46%. What's really interesting, at that 2.25, historically, that's about 44 to 45% acreage in soybeans. That just really seems unrealistically low to me right now, given the discussion about market incentives. And again, the relationship is a lot, still has a lot of uncertainty. So I'm going to go with a ratio of a 47%, even though that's certainly pretty conservative given the current new crop future soybean corn price ratio to project the acreage. And if I use 47%, here's how I do it. I take 183 times 0.47 gives total intended soybean acres of 86 million acres. 183 minus 86 is 97 million acres. And so I take off 1 million in prevent plant for corn, 500,000 for soybeans, and I get 96 million acres projected planted acreage for corn and 85.5 for soybeans.
Again, on a purely data-driven analysis, Scott Irwin has next year's corn acreage at 96 million planted acres and soybeans at 85.5 million. Here's the price outlook.
So that's where we come out on acreage. Now I'm going to translate that into a quick first look in terms of the balance sheet for 22-23. Got the 96 million planted, 88.7 harvested. I use 179.5 for the trend yield forecast. Basically, I lag the USDA estimates by a year. I'm comfortable with that. Gives us almost a 16 billion bushel projection for the corn production. I take feed and residual based on the larger crop up 50 million, a little more ethanol usage 50 million, and I drop exports by 100 million, expecting greater competition globally, and put that all together, and I get ending stocks of 2610 versus 1493 is the latest November WASD, and a stocks to use ratio of 17.6%. At that heavy of a stock level, I get a season average price forecast of 425. And at that kind of stocks to use, that's probably, Joe, a little bit even optimistic. Notice that today In East Central Illinois, new crop out of the field bids for corn are at $5.25, a dollar higher. Just go through the soybeans. I use 51 bushel yield for soybeans and just minor changes in use numbers. And interesting, again, mainly a function of a decline in soybean acreage. We actually have ending stocks for soybeans dropping in 22-23 to 292. That's 6.6% stocks to use ratio, but with a projection of overall global tightness easing on soybeans, we're looking at a price of $11 a bushel, again, a buck below current fall bids for next year.
Now, summarizing those numbers, Irwin and Jansen, during the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, projected 96 million acres of corn will be planted in the United States in 2022, with a season's average cash price of $4.25 a bushel. The soybean acreage is projected at 85.5 million acres, with an $11 cash price. Now let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
As we wrap up November and head into December, there's really very little going on. We will see a system produce a little bit of shower activity over the central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt and Great Lakes. There's a bit of a clipper coming out of Saskatchewan that's going to roll across Ontario, the northern Great Lakes, drag a weak front through the Midwest, producing a few showers. However, once we get on into Thursday, Friday, and the upcoming weekend, most of the United States, at least the lower 48, going to be pretty mild coast to coast. The jet stream is going along a straight line almost from the Pacific Northwest along the U.S.-Canadian border, bottling up any Arctic air well to the north, keeping cold air out of the United States for a little bit longer. And also the Gulf of Mexico kind of cut off. So there's really just not much opportunity for any significant moisture anywhere, at least for the next 5 days. That includes the hard red winter wheat areas of the west and southwest, the central and southern and northern plains and western plain states, not looking at adding any soil moisture. In fact, temperatures in some of those western areas, parts of the panhandles of Texas, Oklahoma, western Kansas, eastern areas of Colorado, even parts of Nebraska will be approaching 60s and lower 70s here before the week is over. Longer term, however, changing weather is coming for the United States. Once we get beyond this weekend, the very quick-moving west-east flow with the jet stream that's going across North America, keeping that Arctic air to the north and suppressing any really wet weather anywhere. Well, as we get into the next week and the week after that, the jet stream is going to get more wiggles, more dips, more troughs, and low-pressure systems will form. That will allow some intrusions of colder Canadian air into the United States next week, especially by the middle of next week, especially in the central and western areas of the United States. And that's going to lead to a more active, colder, more early winter-like pattern. However, before that change in the weather comes, the first 4 to 5 days of December across most of the lower 48 states will be very mild and really not that wet anywhere.
Thanks, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.